When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal are the Community Shield champions and Leeds United are spending money. It's Monday the 31st of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Venetian Hunter Archer.
As Teddy Sheringham once said to me, it's all about timing. How are we doing, boys? Is
very well.
Yeah,
very
good. Well. Another trophy for old Jim.
Are you claiming them personally now?
Yeah. Why not?
Uh-huh. Everything's coming up, Jim Campbell.
Sexy Jim is getting sexier, ladies and gentlemen. And Arsenal are getting better. A trophy so soon after the last one. It's that winning mentality, Jim.
An August double in a month.
Yeah.
Over two different seasons. How many teams can say that?
Did you think you'd ever see the day?
I was always confident. If you listen back to any of my output regarding Arsenal over the last 13 years of the Football Ramble, you'll know I've been nothing but positive the whole time. What are you stroking your chin for?
Because Jack and Ori's a story, Jim, as you used to say in the playground. Vish, how impressed are you with this Arsenal side?
I am very impressed, not least because as someone who isn't an Arsenal fan, I do hold those same doubts that whenever they do anything good, that it will last. And when you, if you actually go back to the start of Project Restart, it was pretty bad. You know, that game against Brighton where...
It really was crap.
Yeah, yeah. They were bad. Leno got injured. Obviously, Guendouzi flipped out. David Luiz was...
Guendouzi was running around boasting about how much money he earned.
Yeah. I mean, that happened, and that was only a couple of months ago. And a lot of the same players are still there. Yeah. That seems on a lot of the same money as well.
Yeah, indeed. It seems ages ago, to be fair.
Yeah.
And, just the fact that they've been able to stitch together this run of form that, you know, saw them end so strongly with winning the FA Cup and therefore getting into the Europa League, but also having this win. I think Arteta now has won more games against top four opposition than... Well, basically anyone since Wenger, which is pretty impressive. And like, I wondered actually if the feel-good factor would dissipate if this was a proper pre-season. So if the season finished in May and it finished strongly, but then we started it back again, what would have been 3 months later, would it have carried over as effectively? Because they're in a weird position at the moment where they've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who still hasn't quite committed, even though it sounds like he's going to commit. And then you've got Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who is supposed to be going, and then Wolves have pulled out, and Arsenal probably want to keep him after that performance on the weekend. So it's very strange times, but in these strange times, Arsenal are doing things all right, aren't they?
Yeah, it's...
What about that goal, Jim?
Oh, it was a beautiful goal.
Oh, what about that goal?
It's just so well worked. And Aubameyang's got 5 goals at Wembley. Just in this calendar year, which is brilliant.
It's Alexis Sanchez-esque.
Well, he's the only person to have that same amount.
At the new Wembley, was it?
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. I believe so. Obviously it is, you know, it's a big chest that's not really a trophy, isn't it? And they won a penalty shootout after a draw, and it's important not to get too sort of carried away. But there are definitely signs of improvement.
Is that how it was described in Italy when they won the World Cup 2006? Well, I mean, we won a penalty shootout.
Yeah, it's just a big lump, isn't it?
It's a big gold lump.
Big gold lump. It's not even a cup. Well, I don't even know what it is.
Oh yeah, that's true. It isn't a cup.
No, it's not. It's positive to see Arsenal approaching these sort of bigger games with some. Just a bit of steel, you know, and not sort of coming apart. A bit of belief as well. And obviously Arteta's making changes to the squad gradually and subtly. And the changes are interesting as well, because my understanding of the situation with Ainsley Maitland-Niles was that they effectively needed to raise some money. And because he's an academy player, it's pure profit. And he's someone that hasn't necessarily nailed down a starting position. But Arteta really likes him and has been quite vocal about that the whole time. And he started him in the FA Cup final. Mm-hmm. So personally, I think he's developed a lot in the past, you know, 6 months or so. And Arteta himself has said that's because he's been telling him, you need to do this to prepare and you need to do that. You need to take things a bit more seriously and you need to be a bit more, not necessarily take things more seriously. That makes it sound like he's ill-disciplined, when I don't think that's the case. But he's been trying to help him focus more and sort of, you know, get up to the speed that a more experienced player is up to. Because he's made over 100 appearances for Arsenal now. Mm. And he's developing at a good rate. And I was a little bit like, when it looked like we were going to lose him, and I hope that Arsenal hang on to him. But at the same time, money does have to come from somewhere if they're going to reinvest it. So I wonder what this means for the rest of the summer. And I am worried about Aubameyang's contract as well, because we've been hearing that it's basically done for a long time now, and he still hasn't signed it.
You're a bit nervous.
Sign a ting.
Yeah, I mean, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, we'll talk about him in a short while, because he's had the ultimate seal of approval from Sir Gareth. Of course. I mean, Aubameyang, they need to keep him. That's fairly obvious to anybody who is just glancing at football. Vish, what about Liverpool? How disappointed will they be?
Falling apart, isn't it?
They can't do a domestic quadruple now.
No. They've lost the world's best friendly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The world's best friendly.
but it's not a friendly, though, is it?
Well, it's not competitive.
It's
an acquaintance.
It is.
It's an acquaintance. Isn't it?
It's an acquaintance match.
Yeah.
It's a colleague match.
Liverpool are falling apart before our very eyes, and it is sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think
stop the fist pumping.
If they wanna, you know, get out of this slump, they probably need to sack Klopp.
Yes.
Yeah. They could do with selling every single one of their players. I think.
I feel like the way they're going at the moment, it's going to be 30 years or so before they win another league title.
No, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. If they had to wait that long. But yeah. No,
it was a full strength, or maybe not full strength, but it was a strong Liverpool lineup before anybody sort of suggests otherwise. I mean, I know Minamino scored the goal, who's not a regular player; it was his first for the club. But you know, you'd rather win the trophy than not.
Yeah, without question. But I think if just as we'd say with Arsenal, that you'd have to, you know, check your expectations as to how much you can take from this game, you'd also say to Liverpool, look, it is what it is, really. Yeah. Because even the peculiarity of having a penalty shootout right after 90 minutes, it just makes the whole thing feel that little bit less important, which is fine. Obviously, they would want to win it, and Klopp clearly wasn't very happy. And, you know, little things that happened during the game, such as how easily, at times, Arsenal were allowed to play through them. And Arsenal's pressing as well was more impressive, and was very impressive. But you did wonder about whether Liverpool, just a bit slow to start, which seems absurd given that they were only playing so recently.
Well, yeah.
But they seemed a bit sluggish, which obviously is just not what they're about. I was a little bit concerned, and this is massively thrown forward, but Rian Brewster missing the penalty. Yeah. Obviously, we know it's not important, but something about that felt like, I hope he doesn't hold on to that.
Yes. Yeah, because
I think Klopp, you're right. I think Klopp immediately spotted that, and he said that he was to blame. And I thought, well, did you tell him to aim for the bar?
Yeah.
But Klopp immediately said, no, I shouldn't, which is, of course, what you want the manager to do.
I don't know, do you want the manager to do that? Because is he effectively saying, oh, I shouldn't have picked Rian to take that penalty? Because that's worse, isn't it?
That's a fair point.
It's a tough one, because he will probably go out on loan, won't he, you would think. I mean, so that will haunt him until he comes back to Liverpool, potentially. So he's got to manage that very well. But he's clearly a very gifted player. It's a weird, high-pressure situation, in fact, where there is actually very low stakes. So hopefully it won't sort of be too damaging.
Yeah, I mean, from what we know of him already, it's not just that he's an incredible talent, but he's obviously very headstrong and very wise to the wider world. Mm-hmm. So I think probably the context is there within him. But I just wondered, it was, it was sad to see. And also, he's got a small little face, isn't he?
Yeah, he does have a small little face. But and he wouldn't be the first, and he won't be the last player to be crushed in the face of the might of Arsenal. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to bounce back.
Yeah, a little glint in Jimmy's eye.
Yeah. I'm just trying to enjoy it while I can, mate. Because I remember what football's like. It's not like this very often. Because this is going to be a weird old season, isn't it? Because it's upon us already. There's an international break already.
Love that.
Which is weird. Like, realistically, the teams that have played in Europe and Arsenal as well because of the FA Cup, they've not had a pre-season. They haven't had a pre-season. It's been a tiny one, but it's not a real one. And it's true for most clubs to an extent. But for the clubs that are, you know, like I say, have been involved in the latest stages of the European games, it's even more the case. So could this be an opportunity for someone unexpected to sort of sneak in and kind of challenge Liverpool and City, because it's going to be a weird season?
Leicester City.
Yeah, quite. They could be on the verge.
Yeah, for another one.
So if, for example, it looks like we're going to have a situation where we're going back to three subs, which I personally think, it benefits the bigger clubs, but it is a mistake with the Euros coming up in particular, and just there's going to be a lot of football played and therefore a lot of injuries, and the Euros is just going to be a cramp festival for a month, isn't it?
Well, Klopp said this about the subs. He wanted a re-vote, essentially.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Klopp, there's one thing we don't do in this country.
is that an opportunity for somebody to actually, you know, sneak in and challenge where you might not expect? And I am talking Chelsea and Spurs, teams like that, not necessarily, like, as you say, Leicester or you know.
I think Mourinho, Spurs.
Sheffield United. You don't know, do you?
I think Joe Hart could be the difference.
Well, he's a valuable asset in the dressing room, given the standards that he expects of himself. But I just feel like if Liverpool and City sort of don't have a perfect start, which, if you've not had a pre-season, which no one has, is understandable, might it be a bit more interesting than we're expecting?
Well, I think that's a fair question. I mean, Vish, to add to that as well, Liverpool, I mean, personally, I know Liverpool, that winning the league was obviously the big thing. When I was watching the Champions League, when it was, you know, in Portugal in the latter rounds, I was just sitting there thinking, how on earth are Liverpool not in this? Because, I still think of them as the best team in Europe, even though Bayern won the trophy. But, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a team who have been so blisteringly good and have won a load of trophies and got the one they've been so desperate for. Haven't brought in too many new faces. A bit of inertia, maybe, could seep into Liverpool. And as Jim says, maybe someone else could.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of someone else, though, I think it is just Chelsea. It's going to be between those three, Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea.
You would put Lampard's leaky Chelsea up there?
Yeah, I would actually, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think...
I know that Luke Moore is fuming.
I know.
Right,
yeah, I can hear him banging down the walls to get in. But no, I would actually, because I think one of the things that would be easier for them to readdress is just giving themselves a bit more solidity. And when you think of the players that they've signed going forward, if you think about it from a training ground perspective, you don't really need to tell them too much. They're all really intelligent forward players. Mm-hmm. Kai Havertz is going to be on the way, but Timo Werner, mm-hmm. Ziyech, everything's there for them to just take their forward play to a next level, that they can focus a bit more on defence. And I think Thiago Silva, while obviously he's not really someone who's looking too far ahead, given his age, he is someone who can drop into that defence and give it a bit more.
But knows how to win a league title.
Yeah, just give it a bit more structure and provide a bit more leadership. And when we're talking about teams that can come in and surprise in this unusual situation, I think it is Arsenal. Because I think when you looked at where the league was when it stopped. I covered the Olympiacos game.
By the way, even Jim raised an eyebrow when you said that. Yeah.
but I don't think Arsenal are going to challenge for the league title.
No,
but I definitely think they've got a chance at the top four, because of the teams that have done well in these unusual times, Arsenal seem to have benefited from a variety of things. As I said before, I was at the Olympiacos game where they lost that second leg, where the atmosphere was pretty toxic and understandably so. Mm-hmm. And in the way that we've come back without fans, and the way that there has been a bit of time for Arteta to work on those players during the hiatus, they've clearly benefited from not having that kind of anxiety seep in from the crowd, and also getting to know a manager really well and him being able to impress his ideals on them as quickly as possible. And the fact that there hasn't really been like a proper pre-season break has just helped them carry on that momentum. And I think they'll do pretty well. And almost by the time fans are allowed back in, there's going to be a different vibe about Arsenal, I think.
You're so right, Vish. Yeah. There are times when I've been at that stadium, it's like, it would be better if we weren't here. Like, the Xhaka situation, which was only this year.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like such a long time ago. Xhaka's, you know, re-established himself as a really important, you know, part of the midfield, and you know, is one who's is placed back very, very well. But yeah, it did need a reset. It's like the Emirates needed a reset. Yeah. And this might actually give it.
But do you respect Arsenal fan TV though?
You're really big on that, aren't you? Are you like an incel for AFTV?
How dare you? Asking the big questions, I am.
It's a question they themselves asked Gary Neville, if you're wondering why he keeps asking. I don't think he said yes. No, I can't remember.
No. Of course he didn't.
It is quite funny. When the press area is at the Emirates is obviously right next to the fans. We're not in like a separate bit. It's just the stand ends and then the press box starts. And often I'm on right at the end next to the fans. And sometimes when they're leaving early during some of those Arsenal games this season, they'd be like, "What are you writing?" And I was like, "My report." And he's like, "Tell him it was shit." I was like, "Yeah, okay." They're like really well mannered, but they obviously see you typing, like, "Don't know what the fuck you made of that. That was shit."
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. Mm. And it's, but I think they'll be a lot cheerier now. In these uncertain times.
In these uncertain times. Well, they'll be happy to see one of their own, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, make the England squad, of course.
Yeah, it's very very, very happy for Ainsley to see that happen. There was a time where his mum was banned from the training ground because she was so effusive, shall we say. Yeah, it's amazing. Or it might have been youth games. It was certainly something like that.
It's not the training ground.
Yeah, no, I don't know why she'd be there. But but still, there was something like that. And it's nice to see someone sort of come through and get that call up, because it's a little bit unexpected as well. He's not a player I would have necessarily expected that of at the start of the season all those years ago.
Does Southgate know he's a right-sided player? He's not the left back that we...
Well, maybe that's what he's in there for. I reckon he's probably in there to play the Grealish role. Can you imagine if Southgate comes out in a press conference and says, "Yeah, he's coming to play the Grealish role."
He's there on merit, of course. Connor Cody's the other one who's been added to the England squad. Wolves fans have been crying out for this for so long. It's a reasonably late call up as they go these days with Connor Cody. But he's also there on merit as well, Vish. He prefers to play in a back three, though. rather than a back four. And Southgate, obviously, they played back three all the way back in the World Cup, if you remember those halcyon days. But he could still do a job. I mean, I wouldn't expect either of these players to feature necessarily. No. But what do you think of Connor Cody? I mean, you've been impressed with him. Do you think he's a good addition?
Yeah, I do. I do. I like a lot of what I see of him in that he comes across really well in interviews, and he's clearly a player who, when you think about it, look how many players, well, how many different players Wolves are able to recruit over the last few years, and the fact that he has been an ever-present. Bear in mind that this is a team that didn't have an English goal scorer in the Premier League last season, and it's a feather in his cap that he's been able to essentially fight off competition from players who aren't at Wolves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Given like how they can pluck players from all parts of Europe, the fact that he's commanding his place and doing so in high-level competition as well. I think we often think of players like Cody when they're... He's not quite a journeyman player, but do you know what I mean? Someone who seems to have been around for a while, that they kind of operate at this level, maybe in the bottom half of the league, and, you know, are reliable, solid pros, and their only backers are from their own, you know, his own fans. But, you know, he's played in European competition. Yeah. He's played in a side that play really attractive, engaging football. And of, you know, was certainly my second favourite team to watch. And so, yeah, I like chuffed for him. What is he, 27, I think?
27,
well?
Yeah. So reasonably, I mean, he's won a trophy or two at youth level for England. So he's sort of a tiny taste, if you like, of international football, sort of, if you will. But it's been a while since then to being 27 years old, being called up to the senior side. You know, obviously, if you're winning, I think it was the European Championships at age cap level with England, you would have a bit of hope. You know, starting every game for Wolves, he's played every game, I think, in the last two seasons for Wolves. You know, I think he'll be delighted, Jim, to get to England, but he would have hoped it wouldn't have maybe taken as long. But it's, you know, stiff competition in that.
Yeah, it's stiff competition, and also, but it's, you know, it's a relatively successful trajectory, you would look at, wouldn't it?
I say stiff with competition, though. John Stones has dropped off a bit. Harry Maguire's, well, less said about that, the better. So maybe actually there isn't as much competition. And,
yeah, I mean, also, if you, it's going back to the World Cup now, but Kyle Walker was playing at a centre back. So there is
in a back three.
Yeah, still, but that is a mode that Gareth Southgate will be keeping in mind, won't it, if he needs it for any reason. I think he's, you know, Michael Keane is another example of someone who's, you know, he's in good form now and he's been good under Ancelotti, but someone who's gone in and out. And I think there is an opportunity for England defenders, isn't there, aside from Maguire, whose place is nailed on, to really challenge for that other spot. I think Joe Gomez will probably be quite hard to dislodge, but you never know, do you? Like, it's we do have a wealth of defenders, of centre-backs, but at the same time, it's not like this kind of, like, Terry, Ferdinand, Carragher situation we used to have, in our own minds at least.
When you say a wealth of defenders, I'm not... I mean, we have defenders.
Well,
is that a bit like saying we've got a wealth of marbles?
Yeah. maybe you're right.
Lots of marbles.
What do you think? I mean, Viz, do you think with England, we'll talk about them, you know, nearer the time, I'm sure, but... games against Iceland and Denmark, England have really got to be on the front foot.
I'm scared of the game of Iceland.
I am as
it's
well.
It's like returning to the scene of a heinous, not a crime, but the scene where you embarrassed yourself the most.
I think, but they're
like going back to a club and you've lost your jacket.
Yeah, but I think
I have done that so many times. It's untrue,
But I think England turned up to Iceland. I think everyone in Iceland's going to go, oh, you guys again. This shouldn't be hard. There's going to be like a slight...
I mean, that's where the nightclub thing comes in, because the bouncers will see you straight away and be like, oh, here he is. You had a good night last night, didn't you?
We remember you.
Brave of you to show your face again. No, it's just that the map will get it for you.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so do you think defensive back three against Iceland, Vish? Connor Cody in there?
Well, I mean, it depends on how seriously they want to take the Nations League.
And very seriously.
It's something to be taken seriously. But you kind of think, actually, if you're going to call up these players who are playing in different systems, and if you want to see what kind of systems England can play going forward, then, you know, why not tinker here and there? I think Cody's a good example of someone who, in another situation, might have come in and been quite, because he's been a late call up to the squad, would have come in and positionally wouldn't have been as well-rounded, let's say. As some, he can, I'm pretty comfortable with Connor Cody playing. In a two-man central defence, just as I am in him playing in a three-man back line. And I think it's quite exciting, actually, that these players that we call up, for example, even Maitland-Niles, we can call him up you know, on a whim, and he's had so much experience. Yeah. I think England, to go back to what you're saying about wealth, I think we can call it wealth because of how technically gifted England players are now.
Yeah, ooh. Which is a lovely, lovely thing to see, isn't it? And also, I feel like Cody's a dependable player. Mm-hmm. I feel like he will slot in and do what he's asked to do without much fuss. And the fact that he's 27 is an advantage, actually, mm-hmm. in terms of the position in the squad that he's trying to fill. Because he is someone that Gareth Southgate, I think he's effectively checking that he's as reliable as he seems like he is.
Yeah. Well, we shall see, ladies and gentlemen. We shall see. All right, let's have a quick break. And after which, we'll talk about some transfer chat. See you in a minute.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now, Jim Campbell has got some exciting news.
I do. It's a Patreon pizza oven winner announcement. So don't forget, we run monthly competitions over on our Patreon, including loads of bonus content, extra shows, and access to our Discord server where you can while away the hours chatting to fellow listeners and ourselves here and there. So you can join us for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/footballrambledaily. And thanks to everyone who signed up to our Patreon this weekend. We can now reveal the winner of our latest competition. Congratulations to Owen O'Mara, who has won our Unikaru outdoor pizza oven. We'll be in touch. Stay tuned for another Patreon competition for all you subscribers soon. Pizza oven on its way.
Owen O'Mara.
Jealous of that.
The big O. Well done, pal. Vish, you're a big fan of pizza.
Yeah, massive fan of pizza.
Who isn't? Quite frankly. My dad. He likes all of the constituent parts, but not pizza. To him, pizza is effectively like ethnic food. He would go as far as to say it's incredible.
Oh, I love your dad.
I love my dad.
We all
love my dad.
We all do. There we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Topic time, everybody. Which famous person would you have voicing a TV series on your club and why? That is the topic for this week. Jim, what have you got for us, Bruvnik?
Dan Johns has been in touch, and he said, if I had to pick a famous person to narrate a documentary on my club, Nottingham Forest, I would pick Brian Blessed.
Mr. Blessed is a great shout. Any club, Brian Blessed.
Mr. Blessed is the only person in the world who has the depth and power in his voice to channel Forest fans' frustration and utter bewilderment at just how monumentally shit we were to throw away a surefire place in the playoffs at the end of last season from such a commanding position. I'm not over it. Yeah, I don't blame you, Dan.
Two back-to-back European Cups, nonsense.
Forrest. I'd be very up for that. I think we all would.
Yeah, big fan of that. We got Josh Hallam via Twitter as well. I'm a Blackburn Rovers fan. As you know, our once, and I do mean once, great club has been decimated by chicken farmers. Yeah. To honour this decline, I would like a documentary to be made and narrated by the voice of Foghorn Leghorn.
Which one's Foghorn Leghorn?
Foghorn Leghorn. Sort
of like, I say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sort of course, like of course.
Deep Southern chicken. I do declare, you know.
Yeah.
So he sounds a little bit like a Spacey in House of Cards.
Yeah. I'll say so. Blackburn Rovers.
Bradley Dack. I do hope we keep on with the gentleman.
I think that's good. John Rapley via Twitter has said, as a Liverpool fan, I'd want John Barnes to rap narrate a documentary on us. Yeah, I mean, that works, doesn't it?
I'd be well into that.
Well, no, because... So the reason World Emotion works, the rap works, is because of the cadence of his voice and the fact that it's quite a neat flow. I think Liverpool play too quickly, and so John Barnes is going to be lost. He'll be all at sea.
Then he could get...
he's already quite a confused man now.
Yeah. Although this is narration of a documentary rather than commentary on a game. Rap commentary on a game is a thing that should happen though, right?
Yeah, like Twister, who was... done a couple of Kanye tracks, probably well better known for that, is I think recorded as the fastest kind of words to minute rapper in the world. He'd be pretty good at that.
Yeah, if you would, I mean, there's got to be enough really good MCs who are known for their like freestyles that support various clubs.
I think it's time to bring Alicia Dixon out of retirement on that front.
What? Why the hell not?
She's good.
M to the I to the STWQ, yeah.
Exactly. She used to be able to, I'm sure she still can, rap very quickly. So I'd have John Barnes doing the Liverpool thing up to maybe the Klopp era, and then Alicia Dixon comes in out of nowhere and takes over.
I think to express how I feel about my club, I think probably Bobcat Goldthwait.
Nice.
You know, the guy from Police Academy. Really crazy voice.
I think that'd be good. I would just say Fulham... Hugh Grant.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
There we are. Fish, Manchester United?
I think I said a Sims character just for the nonsense, but yes. Having had a bit more thought about it, I would say it would have to be Simply Red, wouldn't it?
I feel like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would do it himself.
No, like, but stop talking about something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah. We're a big club, you know, just constantly over the top of it.
I think Mick Hucknall singing.
Yeah.
That would be quite nice. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That was the topics for today.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good at many topics today.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk transfers. Time to talk about those transfers. Leeds United, they've only broken their transfer record to sign Rodrigo from Valencia. The former Bolton man was signed for £30 million. It's about time they broke that transfer record that they made when they signed Rio Ferdinand 20 years ago. But that record, it's funny, isn't it? It shows you the situation they've been in, so on and so forth. But yeah, Rodrigo from Valencia, Vish, decent signing, a forward player. They need a striker. I don't know whether they would play Rodrigo front and centre. And with Bielsa, you don't know what he could come up with, quite frankly. But he's a guy who knows how to score the odd goal here and there. And they do need to add that, you would say, to their side.
Yeah, I think...
Looking in the Premier League, I'm not saying they lacked goals last season, but looking at who they have and so on, I think that is an area of the pitch where they could do with a bit of help.
Yeah. He's not like quite prolific, but he's a hard worker, isn't he?
He's not an out-and-out striker.
No, yeah. So I think he got 10 goals in all competitions last year for Valencia. But he's the type of player who, obviously, very busy, gets himself about, and is technically, you know, pretty good. So the fact that he can pull out wide and bring other people in is going to obviously be a huge factor, and someone he can drop deep as well. It's quite exciting. Yeah, I remember when he went on loan to Bolton and thinking it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
When he's, but yeah, no, he's good signing. I think
he scored for Spain against England at Wembley.
Yes,
the bastard.
Yeah. You've forgiven him?
Yeah. Well, I think so. So it shows you can do it against the best.
Yeah.
Leeds have got a taste for signing expensive Rodrigos, it would appear. They're after Udinese's Argentinian player, Rodrigo De Paul, for £31 million. It hasn't been confirmed at the time of recording, but it's looking very, very likely. He's a lovely player to have in that midfield. That would be an interesting one.
It seems to me like, obviously this is what you expect from Bielsa, isn't it? But Leeds are looking to consolidate, as everyone is. But you do get these teams that come up from the Championship and you think they're going to try and play free-flowing attacking football. Sometimes it works. More often than not, it doesn't. But I feel with Leeds, like, the pressure on them to stay up is... There's more pressure on Leeds to stay up than there has ever been from another team coming up from the Championship, because they feel like they should be at the top table. And if you look at the history of English football, they absolutely should be. They're a club of the size that should really be up there. And obviously the circumstances of how they went down in the first place are just traumatic. And if they go down again, do you know what I mean? If they went straight back down, that would be a huge, huge identity crisis for Leeds.
Can Bielsa consolidate, Vish? Is he not just like, he's thinking title probably? But it is an interesting point from Jim, because the fact they will feel like, yes, we're back, we're where we should be, which is absolutely correct, I would say, from a neutral point of view. And Beals is a man who's used to managing in the top flight of countries. He's not too many titles to his name, but he's certainly gone for it. You know, you remember, I don't know, say Marseille, for example, they were top of the league for the first 6 months. A very different situation. But I just don't look at him as a man who goes, right, I think we'll settle for a point today.
No, just in the same way that I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone by December.
Yeah,
you know, like, just on a whim.
You'd give it to December, would you?
We mentioned, not to just labour over the point about fans, but, you know, when they were really, you know, destroying teams with wave upon wave upon wave, they were almost fueled by the LMO crowd, weren't they? So it'd be interesting to see how they start this particular season, and obviously it's the same issue that other teams have as well, but I could definitely see them in a just play a little bit more conservatively, because I think they would look at that league table and back themselves to not be in the bottom three, just because of the teams that were left in it, given that we lost it quote-unquote established Premier League teams in last year's relegation. But yeah, I think they'd obviously have to temper it a bit. I think Bielsa's not a total maniac. I think he appreciates the fact that they're having, this is a proper step up here.
Yeah. I'm fascinated with Leeds in the Premier League, as I'm sure a lot of us are. They've also got Robin Koch, and I'm going to pronounce it Koch for obvious reasons. He's arrived from Freiburg for around £13 million, which not a bad, lower than I thought young Robin would go for, but it's a good signing. So they've been doing a bit of business. Did you hear about the Leeds fans in Niagara?
Tell me. Yes.
Niagara Falls. They lit up the famous Niagara Falls in Leeds United colours to celebrate their return to the Premier League.
It should be pointed out as well that that's not just a white light.
Yes.
It was white, blue and yellow.
Of course,
wasn't it?
Of course.
Like, you could go around claiming that about all kinds of buildings. Like,
there's a lot of appreciation for
white.
England here.
Yeah.
But yeah, these two Leeds, they both live in Niagara and they put on light shows there. Because when I first read the story, I was like, hang on, what? This is a particularly powerful torch sort of scenario going on. But yeah, they live there. They asked the mayor, and the mayor said, yeah, it sounds like fun. And they got the all clear.
That sounds so very Canada. Yeah. Can we do this one anymore? Yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah, why not?
Sounds like fun. Well, you don't know who Leeds are you? But yes, so interesting stuff there. Now, Vish, let's talk about Manchester United for a moment. It's all but confirmed, so it could fall apart. But again, at the time of recording, Donny van de Beek, or Beek, as some people, forgive pronunciation, I'm going to go for Beek at the time being, that could change. Looks like he's going to sign for Manchester United for £40 million. Edwin van der Sar, who's brokering the deal, shall we say, seems very keen for him to go to Manchester United, which is why it's happened quite quickly.
Yeah.
But what do you think of this? Because he is, I mean, I thought he'd go for more than 40 million, or the reported 40 million that's being spoken about. A hugely talented player who maybe a few people thought would go at the same time when Frankie de Jong went and De Ligt and so on. Where does he fit into that Manchester United side, considering what they've got? Assuming that he goes there and it's all signed, sealed and delivered.
Well, the signing itself it's been done in a way that I thought was beyond Manchester United, not least because it's a talented player who it looks like we've kind of got in there and got out ahead of everyone else, but also the manner in which it was conducted. I know there were rumours about this at the start of the year, but compare it to the Jadon Sancho.
It's
situation.
Very uncharacteristic, like.
Yeah, yeah. Like logistically, it seems like it's been a very sleek operation. Mm. Touch wood that it gets over the line. In terms of way,
touch wood.
Yeah.
Actually, don't do that.
No, definitely not in these times. Yeah, but he, in terms of where he fits in, I wasn't really sure when I first heard the news that things were so far along, because he's a box to box midfielder. Does enjoy, you know, breaking into the box and scoring goals. I notice he's got a really good appreciation of the offside rule.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds a really silly thing to say, but mm-hmm. for a midfielder who spends most of his time far away from that area of the pitch, he does know when a time is runs. And also, he's got a couple of goals in the Champions League where, like, the ball would kind of come out from a corner, yeah. and he'd be just patrolling the mm-hmm. line perfectly, like a
well, you need that
seasoned striker.
He's really got VAR on the mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think
yeah,
if he scores and they go check VAR, he's like, he'll be like, don't worry about it.
Guys. No,
everybody back
in my mind palace.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I called ahead. We can go straight through.
Donny scored. Yeah. It's fine. Everyone back to your positions. You know.
I feel a little bit like in his head, this is Ed Woodward thinking he's getting the Wesley Schneider deal over the line.
Still hoping.
I mean, comparably similar players. I don't know whether this is just the sort of COVID restrictions kicking into the transfer fees going around, but I think it's an absolute steal. Like,
yeah,
the price is, what is it, about 35 million euros or something like that?
40 million pounds.
40 million pounds. Right. That's a great amount of money to get a player like Donny van de Beek for. So yeah. I think fair play if they do get
But I just wonder with that midfield, you obviously got Pogba there, who's a starter.
Yeah.
Fernandes has been superb.
And you would think, you know, I was going to say dislodgeable from that midfield. He's going to start. Is what I mean.
When he's yeah, exactly. So you would think a more sort of holding midfield, someone to maybe come in for Matic, who's slowing down. It's fair to say. With Van der Beek, you want him to get forward. I wonder if they're sort of.
Are they just going for it? Are they just going to go for it all season? Pogba, Fernandes, and Donny van de Beek in the midfield is exciting.
The two things.
It's
about
asking a lot of Harry Maguire.
And he's got his hands full at the minute.
And I was going to say, and he's answering questions at the moment he doesn't want to answer.
Yeah. The one thing I'd say about that is two things. Pogba, as much as it would pain me, because I think the sight of him going forward and, yeah, just his ability dictates that he shouldn't be hamstrung by mm-hmm. the frivolities of defending. being a defender, we all know it's the worst thing you can do in football.
Mm-hmm.
Rather be a creator than a destroyer, I've always thought that.
If you've got the options.
Yes, sure. Well, you can be an anarchist, can't you?
That's true. Although that's why Vidic was loved so much by Ferguson, because he said he'd never known someone who absolutely loved defending that much.
But Pogba can sit in a midfield. And I think it's one of the ways that he's been most productive for United is when, you know, him and Fernandes has worked really well, because Fernandes has been allowed to go on and Pogba just mops up around him. But the other thing about Van der Beek is when Ajax lost Frankie de Jong. I was reading about this last night, actually, that Van der Beek was just asked to play a more withdrawn role, to sit in midfield a bit more. And he's, you know, improved his spatial awareness, but also his tackling as well. You know, I think we saw that a few times in the Champions League, that doesn't mind going in on players. And he doesn't mind doing all the dirty work. I think he's quite an old-fashioned box-to-box midfielder in that there are no real bits of flair to him. He just does everything really productively. There's a little, I'd like, you know, he'd go some way to emulating this man's career. There's a little bit of Lampard about him.
Well, I was tempted to mention that as well, actually.
Yeah, because, you know, Lampard did all the simple things brilliantly well, which is why he was such a good player. And there's a bit of Donny van der Beek, there's a bit about that about Donny van der Beek as well.
So in time, you know, to use Luke Moore's words, I mean, Lampard is what, Tim Sherwood with A-levels or a degree or something?
Yeah.
It could Donny van der Beek be Frank Lampard with a PhD?
Yeah, I was going to say Masters, but maybe PhD.
That's true. But we'll have to wait and see. Well, I mean, I thought you were dangerously close to saying, you know, him and Pogba just sitting, you know, when one goes, one stays.
Yeah. We could always put Bruno Fernandes on the left, couldn't we?
You could. Yeah. You absolutely, and you should.
Well, I mean, is there an argument then that if van der Beek does have that kind of a little bit more industry than perhaps he's been credited with since that positional switch, that actually that midfield three would work perfectly well. Well, it's got a bit more steel in it than he's.
But you're signing a player to play a role that he's only sort of recently started to do, and actually where he naturally, you've got to look at what players sort of naturally go and do. Can they sort of curb their enthusiasm in certain areas? Yeah, there are examples of players that have done that, and he's probably, especially with the Dutch school of thought in football and so on, he's probably good enough and tactically aware enough to do that. But I just feel that that type of player, to say to him, no, you sit in there and let the others go and play, I you're just not playing to his strengths. And I think that he could get a little bit frustrated by that.
Sure. One of the other options that was that I read about yesterday in terms of his capabilities was that if United play, obviously with the United front three, if you had Martial up top and Rashford out wide on one wing, you could have Van de Beek on another wing, because he is industrious enough to do the back and forth and also creative enough to do that role very well. So, I mean, again, touch wood, it sounds like we're signing a hell of a player and we're doing it in a way that I thought was beyond us.
Yeah.
And that in itself, even if it doesn't come off, this feels like growth.
Yeah, definitely. And also with the way modern football works and the tactical flexibility that is absolutely necessary for the top players, that is probably a big part of that thinking as well, isn't it? And there's also the other argument, which is that the three of us in this conversation have thought about it more than Ed Woodward has.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the pandemic has thrown up in footballing terms some strange things. An Arsenal fan happy about winning trophies and getting a winning mentality, and a Manchester United fan happy about Manchester United going about their transfer business and doing it. I mean, goodness knows what next. What next, which I don't know. Lionel Messi to Man City? Never. elsewhere in the Premier League, Everton looked like they might have captured a big signing as well in signing Allen from Napoli.
Yeah.
Again, very close to being a done deal, as the expression is these days. Not confirmed, but if they can get Big Al from Napoli, Jim, that's an absolute coup. Talking about these kind of dynamic midfielders and all, I mean, he is a hugely underappreciated player who's been playing brilliantly for Napoli for a long time now in Serie A.
And he's your go-to guy on FIFA, isn't he? You've scored many a long-ranger against all of us on FIFA with Alan.
Napoli would be the go-to team.
Which is what I think of him as. Yeah, well, still, but he's the jewel in that crown.
Well, I would always argue this as well. I think you would add so much to that Everton side. Mm. He's picking up where Gareth Barry left off.
Yeah, he is.
There's a thought.
Do you think he'd do well in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think he's that type of player who would do well. I mean, I'm just trying to think. You know, this is probably his sort of big move,
last
big move, and so on. I mean, he's worked with Ancelotti before, and Ancelotti's such a likable bugger. Let's be honest; he can get the best out of a lot of people. I think it's the type of player that Everton. You know, Everton. Michael Keane has obviously signed an extension there or a new deal, and he was saying, I think one or two of the Everton players saying, we've got to kick on now.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of eighth and ninth place finishes. You know, I think the last few seasons, there's been a few managerial changes here and there with them. I think they've been sort of saying, are we going to try and get, you know, realistically, a Europa League spot, something like that? And they've been close and they've done okay.
Feel like they need a spark, don't they?
Exactly.
More than any club in the league, really.
That's right. And I think, you know, if they can get Allen in, that's a big one. And also, they've been linked for goodness knows how long. They've been linked as long as Manchester United have with Jadon Sancho, with James Rodriguez. And we know Ancelotti loves old James. You know, he's got talent, for crying out loud. If they could bring those two in, I mean, James Rodriguez would be a really interesting one, because he's in danger now of being a bit of a journeyman, I suppose. And that's really, you could argue that's no fault of his own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a great player.
What a way to be a journeyman, though, for those clubs.
Yeah, I know. I sort of wince as I say that, in a sense.
Oh, he only plays stadiums now.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's under 50,000, he's not interested. Yeah. I mean, Sigurdsson would be quite worried, you would say.
Would he? I mean, he seems to be someone that Everton fans in particular have really, really taken to. And it does sound like him and Ancelotti have a bit of a disagreement, mainly because I don't think Sigurdsson knows what role he wants to play. And I suppose if you're going to sign Allen, what are you going to do with that midfield?
Well, if you've got Allen and James Rodriguez in there, I mean, it does shake things up a bit. Yeah. But then Sigurdsson, you know, he is good for, what, three or four, a few 25 yarders a season, and that's always going to.
But his Deadpool delivery is very good as well.
That's true.
That's obviously.
Do a Man United, get them all in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If we have five subs, we should have like a designated sub where, do you remember in field hockey where the GB team used to have that bloke who'd only come on and take
penalty
corners?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do remember.
We should have that in football, I think.
Mr.
And Gylfi Sigurdsson would be that man.
I like the idea of a penalty corner in football as well. It's like there's no goalkeeper. Yeah. You just got to try and score from a corner. You got a free go at it, but that's it.
I think with Everton, Allen could play in the front of the back four if they get him. And provide a bit of competition for some of the other players there. I don't know if, you know, Delph or Gomez or one or two others in there. I think it bodes very well for Everton. And that's one of the reasons why you're getting a coach like Ancelotti, for his tactical nous, for his likability and so on, but also for his contact book, Jim.
Yeah. Where are they going to finish, Marcus?
They're going to finish in the top half. one player that has been confirmed, of course, it was mentioned on Friday's Ramble, is Matt Doherty/Doherty. There was discussion beforehand about how that name should be pronounced. So there you are. You've got both. Pick which one you would prefer, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, he's gone to Spurs, of course, 15 million. How Spurs announced it was quite magnificent, Jim.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the video, do check it out. But Doherty, I'm going to go for, is the videos of these things are normally quite triumphant, aren't they?
Yeah.
They turn up the much aplomb and there's, you know, sparkles and, in, you know, sequins in the air and all that kind of crap. But he was on a laptop and he was going through some of his old tweets where he's saying that he's an Arsenal fan,
yeah,
and then he's deleting those tweets.
Yeah, it's just a lot of people were like, delete this now, like as you get on the internet, but I just thought it was funny.
Own the narrative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is it, isn't it? This is what football is like now. It's embraced social media. The clubs are doing it. Like, there is club-sanctioned banter. We just have to accept that. It's here. It's foolish to kick against it, and that was a perfectly acceptable example of it, I think.
Well, you've summed it up brilliantly. What about this?
No, all right, mate.
Well, bit of a dig there.
Yeah,
I thought you summed it up very well.
Dripping with sarcasm, whether you know it or not.
Against modern football.
Tell us
speller.
How you really feel.
Yeah.
But you're just happy to have a man on the inside at Spurs, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he does his job in the derby, I'll be delighted with how this has turned out.
What is he doing in our new stadium? Are you burying a shirt?
Arsenal shirts everywhere.
A new one that looks like bleeding marble, which I'm really into.
I love it.
Do you?
I think it's a brilliant shirt, yeah.
Yeah, I do feel weird about Arsenal playing in white, but I'm choosing to think it's Arsenal playing in marble. And if we smash a team dressed as statues, that's just going to be the coolest thing.
Very true. Let's go to Italy, Vish. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has signed a one-year deal at Milan. He will still be playing when he's a pensioner. It's absolutely glorious. He scored 10 goals in 18 Serie A matches last season, which isn't too shabby. Helped them finish sixth and qualify for the Europa League.
Isn't too shabby. It's better than one in two.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing shabby about it.
Where do we, the Ramble, stand on Ibrahimovic? Because I totally understand that some people might be annoyed by the way he carries on and the fact that he refers to himself in the third person.
Yep.
But I cannot get enough of it. And I think there is a line there where he is on the right side and Neymar, to my mind, is slightly on the wrong side of this self-awareness line.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm a massive fan of Ibrahim. And I do want him to keep going because he clearly loves the game. As much as he loves himself, he clearly loves the game. And as you said, like, brilliantly for Milan last year. And I think we mentioned it before about how the AC Milan shirt is one of the few things that helps them kind of hold on to that sense of gravitas because, you know, they've struggled over recent years. And seeing Ibra in that shirt does that as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's something quite classically beautiful about it.
Yeah, he still has the drive and determination of his winning standard, which is incredible for a 38-year-old.
Yeah.
Which, because considering how many trophies he's won and everywhere he's been, you know, people thought, okay, LA Galaxy, that'll be the end. But even when he went to Manchester United, it was like, blimey, going to the Premier League as old as he was.
Yeah.
He's just an absolute force of nature.
Definitely. And there was a point where it was like he'd become in on the joke and the whole I am Zlatan thing and him embracing that. But I feel like he's actually moved past that
now,
which is interesting. And he's actually sort of solidified himself as just an undeniably impressive specimen. And who knows how long he'll go on to. He'll probably play till 40, won't he, at least? We'll see.
Yeah, marvellous. And the other one in Italy, which was quite a nice little deal, Pepe Reina to Lazio.
Mm.
Need a cheerleader. There's your man. He's gone from saving Villa from relegation. Might know how Villa fancy it, and he's out back at a Champions League club. Lovely old job,
it's
ladies and gentlemen.
A gap year for him, isn't it?
It's all gap years now. Beautiful. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble. It's been a pleasure. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke, and Pete will be in your ears talking about those footballs. But until then, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Big Vish.
You are very welcome.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.